Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We've given you our best. Now it's time for the worst matches of 2022, according to WrestleTalk's perfect nomination process. I am Luke Owen, DAD. I'm joined by Chopper Pete Quinnell. I'm joined by Tempest, the people who hate wrestling the most, of course, to talk about the worst matches of the year. We had our best matches, which was won by, actually we shouldn't say, spoilers.
Yeah, no spoilers.
There's a link for it in the video description down below. We've also gotten through our best pay-per-views of the year. We'll have our worst pay-per-views coming out in the next video. Let's go through the worst matches of the year.
Just to clarify as well,
yes,
Luke,
mate.
How does this system work? Well, how do people get in their nominations?
I'm glad you asked, Pete. I was about to get into that.
Good.
So our nomination system works as such. Also, by the way, if this is your first time here, please do press the subscribe button. Give us a little thumbs up and everything. Leave a comment down below. Tell us what your worst match of the year was, because maybe next year we'll open up the nominations further. The way it works is that we as hosts all submit our nominations. We submit our five worst matches of the year. The worst match will get 5 points. The second will get 4. Third will get 3, and so on. Not only is it us, our editors also get their nominations in. Our website writers get them in. Our $100 backers get in their nominations. And wrestling influencers put in their nominations. I total up all of the scores, and I've got the results here. This is categorically, scientifically, the worst match of the year.
It's just science.
Well, and now it's not opinion, it's counting.
Exactly.
Now, it was an interesting year, 2022, because we had discussions in the office, and I think we've mentioned this on a previous one of our Best of Awards videos, that we've had discussions that it was kind of hard to come up with five matches. There's been a lot of very good wrestling this year, but it's, I think, because we haven't had Vince for a whole year, and we're not in the Thunderdome era anymore. There's no, like, wacky nonsense. There's, there's no Bray versus Randy.
There's no zombies.
There's no zombies. Yeah. Like, there's no, like, really obvious, that's objectively the worst match of the year.
You have, like, on TV occasionally, you'd have, like, well, that was a bit of a bad finish kind of thing. But it's never as bad to be like, well, that was the worst match of the year.
Yeah, like, even, like, Damian Priest winning via purple light.
Was bad.
Yeah. But it's not, like, the worst match
of the year. Because that's normally reserved for stuff that's, like, more important, like pay-per-view matches and things like that. Because when stuff is bad on pay-per-view, it's much worse than a bad TV match.
So at the very least, we can give credit to 2022, because I would much rather it be a difficult year for us to vote upon what is the worst match of the year than the other way around.
Absolutely.
If we were struggling to come up with 10 best matches of the year, that would be a real shame, but that was not the case this year.
If anything, actually, the hardest part of the best list was just whittling it down to 5. Because I had a short list of 10.
Yeah.
And it was then like, ugh, I mean, I really want to get this match in. Like, I really wanted to have Hayter versus Storm in my top 5, but I just couldn't justify it above some of my other nominations. I think with the worst match, it was not easier, but there was like, well, there's 5 right there. I can go with those 5.
You lengthen your list out to get to 5 instead of trimming it down from 10.
Exactly. And I do like to lengthen things. So let's get into the results itself, starting with the 5 that did not make the top 10. So in at number 15, with 8 points, which actually was tied with a couple of others, but this did get one top level nomination. And I was kind of surprised by this in a way, but also in a way not. CM Punk versus Jon Moxley from Dynamite, the squash match.
Okay. Yeah. I can understand why people wouldn't like that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Number 14 with 9 points. In fact, actually, this is hilarious. 11, 12, 13, and 14 all got 9 points.
Oh,
so okay. All tied with 9.
That's tidy.
Drew McIntyre versus Karrion Kross from Extreme Rules.
Sure.
Just not very good.
It was all right.
Yeah, it was fine.
Amos versus Braun Strowman from Crown Jewel. I thought that would do better in a way.
Or worse.
Or worse, yeah. Eddie Kingston versus Chris Jericho from Fighter Fest Week 2. The
I thought you were going to say from Revolution. I was like, what are people talking about?
No, from the Barbed Wire Everywhere match. In fact, that actually got one top level nom. In that. So, yeah, someone really didn't like that match. And Austin Theory versus Seth Rollins. They've failed Money in the Bank cash-in.
Yeah, nearly, also fair.
Nearly made it into the top 10. I actually thought it was going to as well. They got 4 nominations from, you know, I mean, granted, it's 34, you know, in total, but there was enough early votes for it. I thought it was going to make it into the top 10, which brings us to our top 10 in joint ninth.
Oh, okay.
It is with 11 points. Jade Cargill versus Marina Shafir from AEW Dynamite on November 2nd, tied with Ronda Rousey versus Liv Morgan from WWE Extreme Rules.
Yeah.
Interesting.
The Marina Shafir match. I know she got a lot of flack online this year, and not just for her hat.
Only one AEW star is allowed to like their hat.
Yeah, exactly.
Not just for her hat or that promo that she did on Dark Elevation or something. It's like, you know, the sort of promo that, I mean, like 10 people were probably going to see, but then social media like makes it seem like, you know, then tens of thousands of people see it. But this match in particular, I do remember people being like really, really quite against it. Yeah. I think Ollie was probably more against the ROH Women's Championship match, the Deonna Purrazzo, Mercedes Martinez. Yeah, he was more against that one, and that did actually do quite well in the nominations. It did make it into the top 10 though, so I was surprised this got more nominations than it did. One top level nomination, in fact. Someone really did not like this match.
I thought it was all right, but
it's not the worst match.
I wouldn't have ranked it because I think I forgot it happened. So like,
there's been a number of them so far, even where it's just like, oh yeah, I remember that was a bit crap, you know. But again, this list is not, at least to this point, populated with like the Damian Priest zombie match or
exactly,
you know, the Fiend and Randy Orton at WrestleMania or Alexa Bliss doing crazy mind control on Nia Jax and things like that. Like the really atrocious, offensive kind of matches. It's just like, oh yeah, that was a bit bad. But I think a lot of the time, especially at this point in the year where AEW is still doing pretty well for themselves before Double or Nothing and everything. But like, yeah, you just kind of like these matches would happen and be like, all right, that was a lame one. Forget about it. Move on. Yeah. There's other good things to focus on.
I kind of agree with what Pete said earlier. It's like TV matches, I tend not to put into my worst five anyway because they're TV matches.
They have to be especially bad for me to remember them as such.
That's exactly it, However, like Ronda Rousey versus Liv Morgan. I mean, people did not like that feud anyway because I think that WWE, since Triple H took over, did a massive drop of the ball with poor Liv Morgan.
Yeah.
And the Rousey feud did nothing for her, because the Rousey feud essentially was her telling Liv Morgan, you're not on my level, then them having matches that proved that Liv Morgan was not on her level.
Yeah, they really, really tried to protect Ronda Rousey in this feud to the detriment of Liv Morgan. This match, like, I don't think a lot of people necessarily expected Ronda to win. I thought the point of the story was Liv gonna be like, no, actually I am on your level, and she was gonna win, and yay, that's nice.
Particularly because this is a whole like, no, I can go to the extreme.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Ronda was like, but I'm not gonna sell for it, so I'm still gonna tap you out.
And it was a bit of a weird finish with like Liv being happy and passing out, and it was a weird submission that was in like a table and it wasn't her finisher, and it was a bit like, oh, okay, I guess.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, and Ronda's won. It's not great. Just kind of left you with a bad taste in your mouth afterwards. Wasn't horrendous in terms of the actual match, but the finish and the booking around it was a bit like, meh.
Yeah, it comes at the end of something that people were not into at all.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you can try and do the pass out smile that you're in pain and yay and all that. The Minoru Suzuki finish, where he was having an amazing match with Kota Ibushi a few years ago, and they just beat the piss out of each other for like 20 some minutes in the G1, and Ibushi knocks him out, pins him, and afterwards, like, they zoom in on Suzuki and he's just smiling to himself because he's like, yeah, I had a fight.
I had a great time.
Yeah. That, you could try to do something like that, but not everyone is Minoru Suzuki. And this was not a situation in which you should be happy to be losing this match or be happy to be in this position and smiling and everything. It just didn't click. A lot of this situation, this storyline didn't click for a lot of people, myself included.
I think the storyline follow-up has really helped that either.
No, exactly, yeah.
I mean, the SmackDown Women's Division in general this year has just been, you know, we not talk great. About it every single week.
But also, you heard it here first, Liv Morgan is not Minoru Suzuki.
In case there was any confusion, putting it out.
I reckon they both do fantastic Harley Quinn cosplays.
I want to see it.
Yeah.
Well, we had tied for number 9. Tied for number 7.
Crikey.
Tied 7th, both with 12 points each. This is a name you might have heard. Ronda Rousey versus Charlotte Flair from WrestleMania 38. Tied with the Casino Ladder Match from All Out.
You know? Yeah.
I really thought the ladder match would do, again, better slash worse.
I thought be higher on the list.
It would get more nominations because neither of these two matches got top level nominations, but had, like, they were consistently on people's lists.
I think for the Casino Ladder Match to start with, I think that if they didn't have the follow up and the reveal of MJF on the same show, this would have been right up there at the top. I think it kind of like placated the fans a little bit to be like, okay, it was to set up a thing that we want to see. Okay, I still don't like the fact they did this with the match. But the reveal of MJF kind of softened the blow a little bit. If they'd have just done, it's this person in a mask and he's won it and the match doesn't mean anything anymore, it would have been like, well, that's rubbish.
With the firm.
Yeah, with the firm. In, yeah. Oh, God,
and like, because you then had Brawl Out after it as well. Like, so then no one was really talking about MJF's return.
Yeah.
It was kind of funny. A lot of people made the point of like, MJF nearly no showing Double or Nothing overshadowed Wardlow's win, and then Punk's actions at the media scrum really overshadowed his return and his ladder match win. I have never seen a ladder match end in more deafening silence than the Casino ladder match.
Yeah.
That was a Chicago crowd that did not know how to react to a finish.
Yep.
They just watched this guy come out in a mask, climb. They didn't know if it was a return, a new character, a debut. They didn't even react to like the song or anything like that. They just went silent. And maybe Gadai was like, oh, it was hushed tones. I think it was confusion.
It was.
Yeah. And people did not know how to react to it. And you're right. I think because they did reveal it, granted, it's like 4 hours later they revealed that it was MJF. I think that does help it somewhat. But even up to the point of the finish, it wasn't like outstanding ladder match anyway. It was just a bunch of spots, bad finish.
Well, that was the thing. A match like this, the Casino ladder match, is you have staggered entrance. So once everyone is in, then it's like, okay, now we go. Now we can kind of expect the finish to come at any time. So there's an increased amount of tension. The people are going to be into it more. And you can just then have all seven or however many guys were in the match really go just hog wild. And again, it was like, Claudio was in the match. You had Andrade was in the match. Mm-hmm. It was a really good cast. Now, this was one of the matches I was most looking forward to on the show.
Absolutely.
And exactly when you expected the match to ramp up is when it ended.
Mm-hmm.
It just pulls the rug out from everybody and therefore doesn't have a chance to get into that next gear. And it was just disappointing. And I get it. Like, you do the MJF thing and you do have to sacrifice the match in order to do it that way. But it does mean that you sacrifice the match.
That's it.
Yeah.
And then by extension, you sacrifice all the other guys in that match as well.
Yeah.
And like, no one got anything out of that match.
No.
I
can't even remember who else was in it.
That's what I was just thinking. Andrade was the only name I could think of. I even got Claudio was in
it. I think Phoenix was in it. Yuta might have been in it. But
that sounds about right.
I got nothing past that.
Yeah.
And Flair versus Rousey at Mania.
Ugh.
Like, they had two matches because they had a backlash match.
Yeah, they had the I Quit match.
Yeah.
And this was a match that I think was the... Ronda's not had a great 2022.
No.
Some may call it a bad 2022.
Yeah, she's had a bad year.
Yeah.
Not helped by the fact she came in, won the Rumble when people didn't really want her to win the Rumble.
Yep.
And the first thing she did was come out on Raw afterwards and just be like, no, I don't want to be here.
Yeah.
I don't need this. Like, yeah. I don't need you. I don't need this company. I don't need to win the Rumble. It's like,
why aren't you guys cheering for me?
Yeah, a lot of that. And then she went, and then she looks like, and I was going to make this point in the Liv Morgan match, looks like she doesn't want to be there. Like, that promo was a problem to, like, shoot promo of, like, I don't want to be here, but I'm forced to. So, because I've got a contract with this stupid company doing this stupid fake fighting. And then she just had a fake fighting match with Charlotte where she put in little effort. Charlotte had a bad match. It doesn't really happen because Flair's amazing. But Rousey's lack of effort really hurts a lot of the matches that she had this year. And I just remember Cena being like kind of tediously bored by this. And then not by the fact that like Ronda doesn't win.
Mm-hmm.
So she doesn't then doesn't sell the fact that she didn't win either. It's like, it was rubbish.
There's so many things that I have wrong with this match and the presentation of everything. First of all, it is basically the women's equivalent of like WrestleMania 34 Roman versus Brock, where you get the one person that is the pushed star that no one's going to cheer for, and then you have the heel who you're not supposed to cheer for, but people don't really like anyway. There's no one to cheer for in this match. It's not a great match to begin with. And then it just, like, it has a whack-ass finish where the person that you're at least expecting to win so that we can move past this nonsense and not have to see it again, they don't win.
Mm-hmm.
So that means that, oh my God, we have to sit through it again.
At the next
pay-per-view, and nobody wants it to begin with. I remember Ronda said, like, oh, I think this match is going to achieve cult classic status in a few years. Like, it's not. This was a bad match. And I've been saying a few times this year, the fact that WWE sacrificed Sasha Banks for this run from Ronda Rousey this year is like one of the biggest unforced errors I've ever seen from a wrestling company.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And now like there's all these reports being like they don't see her as a star anyway, so they'd much rather just put effort into other people. Like that to me reeks of she's not going to come back, so we don't actually, we never liked her in the first place. Mm-hmm. We've got a Ronda, we don't need a Sasha Banks. It feels slightly wild. Petty, and I think it's I think Banks's appearance in the Rumble is a real indicative point of like she was going to have a bad year.
Yeah,
regardless if she just stayed or if she left, so like that was never going to work out for you.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe she did the right thing. In at number six, we've got no more ties now.
Mm.
So in at sixth with 13 points, 5 nominations, one of which was top level. The Women's Royal Rumble. Another Ronda Rousey match-ish, because she did win the thing. I mean, it was a bad, bad Rumble.
It was a bad show.
Bad show.
Both Rumbles were ass.
Yeah, and the women's one, while better than the men's...
Sure was.
Was like... I think because we knew that... The reports had already come out that Ronda was going to be in the Rumble. So the kind of expectation was like, well, Ronda's winning then. So it kind of really did leave us like, well, we just got to get through 29 other people before we get to the Ronda point, right?
And it wasn't the kind of Royal Rumble where this goes for the whole show, and I think that we'll probably talk about the other one in a bit. Maybe not. It wasn't the kind of Royal Rumble match where you can sort of have fun during it, even knowing that the outcome is going to be what it is, because there weren't a lot of really fun moments. They had announced the Mickey James spot beforehand, which they never should have done.
Yep.
They announced so many of the special the surprise returns, and even the ones that we didn't know about, like Melina comes out and is eliminated immediately. Like, none of the cool moments that you could have had sprinkled throughout this, and this goes for the whole show, where it was so uninspired. There was no thought put into any of the spots, no rivalries were set up, no rivalries were paid off. There was nothing to it. So you're just sitting there waiting to get to a destination that you don't want to get to.
Yeah. I mean, do you think they could have... For my money, they should have done Bianca. Done the back-to-back. And...
Yeah.
And that's what I would have done, because I think that's a much better story than just having Ronda show up and win.
Yeah.
You can get to Ronda Flair without
I think I said something like that. I think that was one of my like fingers crossed predictions for the Rumble that like this time last year was like, well, you want to start crossing off a lot of like, you know, these special records and milestone moments for the Women's Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
You know, you'll have somebody enter at number one and win it and things like that. Why not do a back-to-back winner?
Yeah.
When you don't really have any better options, you're heading in that direction for WrestleMania anyway, and everyone likes Bianca. It would have been a much better feel-good moment that way.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's a better story for her as well.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah. Like, if she was going to have that Mania match with Becky as is, getting her with a double Rumble win is definitely a good way to go. Because if you want to do a back-to-back Rumble win with somebody, you have to have someone who's organically over. And Bianca's a really good choice for that. Because if you just do back-to-back Rumble wins on someone people don't like, all that's bad.
Yeah.
That's a bad time.
And I don't want to be that guy as well, but she didn't get to have her Rumble win in front of fans in 2021 because we were still in like the Thunderdome era. So it would have been nice for her to be able to have that moment. And again, I don't want to be that fan as like, oh, give her her moment, but I think she does deserve that moment and have that return.
Yeah.
Oh, that win. It was
not a fun time. And I agree with basically everything you said. Like, there's so much fun to be had in a Rumble, and this was lacking basically all of it.
Yeah, it's amazing, really, isn't it? Surprising. In at number 5, with 17 points, 4 nominations, 2 of which were top level, Ric Flair and Andrade El Idolo versus Jeff Jarrett and Jay Lethal at Ric Flair's final match.
Match.
Oh, this match. Like,
if there ever was a time to use this to describe a match, woof.
Yeah.
That is the word to describe this match. Goodness me.
This is, I mean, watching Flair just standing on the outside bleeding profusely. Like, he has said in interviews as well, it's like, I think I passed out for much of the match. It's like, oh, I don't. This was a bad idea from the get-go.
Yeah.
And it's embarrassing to watch the match unfold.
Yeah.
And eesh, no good.
It's so tough. Because it's not like Ric Flair's had an interesting last couple of years, you know.
To say the least.
That's a way to put it.
From a public perception standpoint as well. And it's not like you're having this big coming out party for this is going to be my retirement tour last match. Like, I'm sure a lot of people, you know, when everyone thought that like the Undertaker's match with Reigns was going to be his last one, it was at the very least like, this is a big deal and everything. We really care about the Undertaker and that, and however many other retirement matches and those type that you want to bring up. It didn't have any of that feeling, because I think there is a feeling from a certain large point of the wrestling audience. It's like, I really do just kind of wish that Ric Flair would shut up and go away at this point. You know, like, I don't really care to see Ric Flair wrestling, quote unquote, at however old he is now, bleeding buckets after having like nearly died a few years ago. So even if you didn't have whatever perception of him from the last few years, Dark Side of the Ring and whatnot, you still are watching this like, boy, I hope he doesn't just keel over in this match, having had very serious health issues in the last few years and everything. It's just I want to watch.
It's a genuine concern.
It's uncomfortable.
Yeah,
I don't want to watch an old man going through the steps in slow motion because he wants to have another one on pay-per-view.
Man, like, compare that to Steamboat.
Well, actually,
I mean, on that note, I will note now, because a lot of people might be expecting this, the three-way from Hard Times 3 did not make the top 10.
Darn.
It did get points. Tyrus versus Trevor Murdoch versus Matt Cardona did get nearly, like, it was close to making it into the cut, but it did not get enough nominations. But Flair and Andrade with Jay Lethal and Jeff Jarrett did. However, it was not enough to unseat position at number 4 with 19 points across 5 nominations, 2 of which were top level. Bobby Lashley versus Amos from WrestleMania Backlash. Now, let me tell you, Amos's name came up a lot in people's nominations, but it was various different Amos matches. So,
he split his own vote.
He did. Yeah. Amos literally split everyone's vote. Like, one person even voted for one of the handicap matches he had on Raw as like their worst match of the year. Like, it was him versus three dudes, and they were like, worst match of the year. And I'm like, I don't know. I think the Bobby Lashley stuff was way worse.
I'm going to be real with you, Chief. I forgot this match happened.
I mean, there's an easy way to remember this, because it happened at WrestleMania. So it happened then again at WrestleMania Backlash.
Yeah.
If it happened there, more than likely,
four
weeks later, you got to watch it again. Because they didn't do the MVP turn at Mania, did they? Bobby Lashley just won at Mania. and then a Moss one at Backlash.
Oh, I don't remember. We talked about our best show of the year thing yesterday when you'll see this, and WrestleMania comes up in conversation, of course. And I said that there were some duds on this card. I'd forgotten that this was something that happened.
Yeah.
I remember the Backlash match because this was on my list of ones that I voted for. I do not have any memory of them wrestling at WrestleMania.
There you go. Amos was already with MVP, so they did the turn on TV.
It was on Raw, right?
Yeah, they did the turn on TV, and he won this one here by pinfall, no less.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, it's a difficult position. I'm sure he's a very nice man.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure Amos is a swell dude.
Mm.
Amos versus Johnny Gargano also got points, but not enough to get it into the top 10.
It's a Vince project that at the time Vince was still there and everything, but you know, there's always some sort of value in the enormous guy in wrestling and everything. If you can use him sparingly and whatnot. That's why I thought that even at his worst, there's always something to like the great Khali type where it's like, mm-hmm. He's so big that you can do something with him. He's just not. It's not good.
No. It was actually
not good at this.
Yeah, I thought his match with Braun, the one at Crown Jewel, was going to do you higher, even if Braun did say it was the big five-star flippy floppers, bad social media time that he had. Amos, for me, is like, I feel like he's wasting MVP's time. But Pete and I, like, you know, we reviewed the last episode of Raw recently, and there was legit a tease on that show of reuniting MVP with Bobby Lashley.
Again.
And Pete made the point, it was like, I just wouldn't mind if they just pretended that him and Amos never happened. They just never reference it again. I'd be like, yeah, I'd be fine with that.
Yeah.
And just like, they just put the Hurt Business back together. Thumbs up from me.
Yeah.
Because I think Amos is dead weight to MVP, a waste of his talent.
I think Omos was really good in his role with AJ Styles. Granted, they ran that down into the ground, and occasionally it was like a bit too much. Too much of the focus was on Omos and not AJ Styles. But when they occasionally used him, like in the TLC, when, you know, he gets hit in the chair, he gets hit in the back with a chair, and he just completely no-sells it, like, looks around at who's him. I'm like, that's a fun spot. That's fun. I liked him at WrestleMania when he won the tag titles with AJ. I even liked that because he was protected quite well. But when he's just like, he's a big lad and he beats up people, serious diminishing returns. You do it like once in a match.
He was in Money in the Bank this year, wasn't he?
Was he?
No.
No, surely not.
Maybe.
I feel like he was in Money in the Bank this year.
Surely not.
Hold on. Right.
God, next. It shows how much I remember about these shows.
Next.
Goodness, next.
The more you, like, you saying that, it's kind of unlocking a bit of my brain.
Yeah, there he is.
Oh,
it was
God.
Theory, Drew McIntyre, Madcap Moss, Amos, Riddle, Sami Zayn, Rollins, and Sheamus.
He could have just reached up and grabbed it,
yeah,
honestly.
Because they did
tall.
A big table spot with him. Because I think I did say it was probably one of the funnest spots of the match.
Yeah.
Funnest is a word.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
In at number three with, so we'll check my points here. Oh man, this is quite the jump. So Bobby Lashley and Omos got 19 points. In at number three, with 50 points. With 15 nominations, four of which were top level. Ronda Rousey versus Shotzi Blackheart from Survivor Series.
Wondering when it was going to come up.
Yeah.
I thought maybe this is a bit of recency bias, but it also, like, Ronda herself has said, yeah, that was a bad match. Mm. Like, I that was a bad match, and I feel bad about that match, because I don't think it's just the DDT spot on the apron. Like, that doesn't help things because it's a huge botch. It's Ronda's, like, this, I feel like by November, that was like the peak of her lack of caring in 2022. She's got zero effort in this match. And I really hated the finish, which is that Shotzi runs wild. She does this dive off the apron on top of Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler, takes them out. That's the whole storyline. It's like, can she do this on her own? They get back in the ring and Ronda just wins. Yeah. It's like, we didn't even get a near fall off the spot. Like, Ronda just like, I'm up, and you're done.
Yeah.
So what was the point?
Yeah. it was a bad build, very last minute, and it's a bad match.
Real bad.
But it was just, there was nothing to it. And it was bad for the SmackDown Women's Championship. If this was a plain old singles match on this show, no title involved, you can make more of an argument for it being not that bad, because it's like, eh, it doesn't really matter in the grand scheme of things. This is for your top women's belt on SmackDown. And there's nothing to it. There's just no build. There's no stars involved in this. Because Ronda Rousey, sorry, but your star power's been really diminished across 2022. People do not care about her anymore.
It is staggering. If you watch side by side a match from 2022 and like Rousey's debut at WrestleMania 34.
Oh, God, what a match.
The amount of energy, the effort, motivation, just the physical charisma that she exudes in that match.
When she squares up to Triple H.
It's unbelievable.
So good. So
that's
great.
One of the best debut matches like in WWE history.
Absolutely.
And
that and Taz.
It's not the same performer now. She does not wrestle at all with the same level of energy that she had then.
Yeah.
And it's like, again, I go back to my comment about Sasha Banks. It's just like, this is what you've chosen to do all year. And she's the level of star where you can't really just change direction and not figure her into the big plans because she is such a name. But
and
like,
Fox want her.
Fox wants her on TV and stuff. Yeah. Like, this match sucks.
Yeah, it was no good.
Bad. And we were saying in the podcast reviews leading up to this that if you wanted to do this match, that's fine. But give Shotzi a little bit more leading into the match rather than just being another geek on the roster until literally like 2 weeks beforehand.
That Ronda had already beaten.
Yeah.
Contrary to Shotzi saying like,
she's never been in the ring with someone like me.
She's never been in the ring with someone like me, except when she has. She's never been in the ring with someone like me twice.
Yeah.
It just, I think Shotzi's had a bad year at times a lot. Like, there were a lot of moments in the Women's Money in the Bank match that were kind of on her, and she got a lot of flack for that on Twitter, some rightly, some wrongly, but like, this was just a combination that I don't think anybody's really looking forward to. And then I don't know if it met the expectations that people had, but it was not good.
So that's three Rousey matches in the top 10.
Yeah,
four if you include the Rumble, because she won.
Sure. I think it's a big factor.
And I think you might be right there. I think that is a factor in people's nominations. So we can kind of a bad year for Ronda Rousey.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What do you do with Rousey? Like, you know, going into 2023, like if you're sat down with Triple H, what do?
Stop having her wrestle.
Stop having her talk.
Yeah, stop having her talk. Step one. God.
Because like
I'd have Becky beat her at WrestleMania and then yes, she's never seen that, again.
Why? Yes. Yeah. How we've not done Becky Ronda. Because WWE were like, no, Ronda, Charlotte's the match. Like that, you know, Becky was accidentally.
Clearly.
Yeah.
Clearly the match.
It's the match they always wanted
after
to do.
They did it this year. It was so great.
Because they never wanted to do Ronda Becky. Mm-hmm. They wanted to do Ronda Charlotte. And then because Becky was the Daniel Bryan, so they were like, oh, well, we have to put her in, I guess. But I'm still having my Charlotte Flair. So as the Batista in this role, mm-hmm. it's like it's a triple threat now. I hope, yeah, maybe we will get Ronda Becky. But I feel like that fire's massively gone now.
Absolutely.
Yeah, like
I
don't care to see it now. Like all the heat's gone from it.
Yeah.
So do you just do her in tag matches? You just do her and Baszler go with a tag run?
I think that's fine. I've been saying that I would have had them do that while Liv was champion. I would have kept the belt on Liv Morgan and give her something to do and make Ronda and Shayna in the tag division because they put the tag belts on Aaliyah and Raquel. They clearly don't care that much.
And Alexa and Asuka for 6 days.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know. She just can't be the focal point of SmackDown like she is now. Like, all the top women's matches are built around Ronda Rousey, and it's just this black hole of not caring. Vortex. It's a vortex that everything gets sucked into right now.
Yeah.
I mean, she doesn't want to be there, it doesn't seem like. Nah. Just beat her and send her on her way.
Here's my pitch. Here's my prediction for 2023. This is not in the predictions video. It's Ronda versus Baszler at WrestleMania for the title. Fight pit.
That's closer to something sure. I'd look forward to.
Yeah. I don't know, man, because then it's fake MMA. Yeah. And if there's one thing I really don't like in my wrestling, it's worked MMA.
I don't like no worked MMA either. And I know neither of those two are, you know, Matt Riddle and Seth Rollins levels of workers and everything. Yeah. But I mean, I don't know. That sounds closer to something that I would enjoy watching than not.
Did you remember Daniel Cormier was the referee for that?
Yeah,
he sure was.
He was there.
He was still there.
Yeah.
Really thought it was going to build to something. Yeah. I was there being like, that's the US title patch.
Daniel Cormier versus Brock Lesnar all these years later.
I thought it would do Cormier versus Rollins for the US title at a Saudi show. I was like, that's got Saudi show written all over it.
Mm-hmm.
Nope. In at number two with 59 points, 14 nominations, 9 of which were top level.
Which order are these?
Yeah, which order?
In?
It's Vince McMahon versus Pat McAfee from WrestleMania 38.
Okay.
When the news started to come out, Dave Meltzer reported that Vince McMahon was working out for a match.
Yeah.
Ollie ran it as a WrestleTalk news, and I was like, I wouldn't run with that because like it feels real like bottom of the barrel.
Mm.
That's not going to happen though, is it?
Yeah.
Like, I know we'd had the Austin news and everything, but I was like, oh, Vince surely isn't having a match at WrestleMania. And he did.
He sure did.
He sure did. And he won in a squash match against the guy. I mean, granted, a commentator, but that commentator who just beat supposedly one of your rising stars in Austin Theory, not 30 seconds beforehand. I still, to this day, was like staggered. Like, I think back to how staggered I felt watching that because I was like, oh my God, Vince is wrestling a match. This is the craziest thing. 2022, what a year. Cody Rhodes has come back. Steve Austin's wrestled. Blah, 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 blah. And then the match goes on and you get real Brett Vince vibes. We were like, oh, I'm now just watching Vince McMahon working over Pat McAfee really slowly, really badly.
Mm.
And then he just wins.
Mm-hmm.
Kicks a football at him.
Yeah. And I was like, this, what mindset do you have to go through to be like, yeah, I'm gonna wrestle Pat McAfee, he's gonna get no offensive moves at me because I can't take any, which means Iron Sheik at WrestleMania X7,
yep.
The only reason he wins the battle royal is I can't take the bump.
He wins by default.
That is what happened here with Vince.
His body was melting.
I think if you go back and watch our live reactions from WrestleMania, we are laughing a lot when we watch this match. And I think if you compare that to when we're watching something like Johnny Knoxville versus Sami Zayn, we're laughing with that match.
Yeah.
This, we're laughing at this match. It is ridiculous. It's so stupid. It did then lead to one of the funniest stunner cells I've ever seen in my life. So I don't know how it can be this high on the list.
That's a post-match,
but,
though.
Yeah, it's post-match aggers. It doesn't quite count. But, like, it's... I think it's very close to being stupid, fun sports entertainment, but it wasn't fun, I don't think. It didn't quite hit the mark of what it needed to. Maybe for big Vince fans out there, you know, maybe this did hit that mark, but I don't think it did for me.
Surely this is it. Surely this is his last wrestling match, right?
God, I effing hope so.
You say surely.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I added surely in there. Mm. If you'd have asked me 4 weeks ago, I'd be like, that's it. That's the final match, yeah, right? But then that Wall Street Journal article came out where he was like, no, I'm going to come back. Mm-hmm. And now I'm like, I think in 2023, he's just going to take over again. And yeah, he'll have another WrestleMania match. Mm.
Against Austin.
Yeah.
Going with what you were saying, I think that a lot of the times you can have a match that leans into so bad it's funny territory, so bad it's good territory. But I think this was a case where it's like, no, but it is still bad.
And yeah,
like, you can laugh at it and everything, but your guilty pleasure movie will probably still win worst movie of the year for that year.
And also, like, you know, watching The Room. Room's a bad movie.
Sure is.
Yeah.
You watch it with five of your friends, it's the funniest film in the world.
Oh, yeah.
You watch it on your own, you're just watching a bad movie.
Yeah.
And, like, I think our, you know, you both watch our live reaction to it. That's four people. That's five guys in a room. We've had a few beers. We're having a good time. We're having a laugh. Mm-hmm. And we're laughing at that match. I have not gone and watched the match on my own. And I don't think I want to.
I don't want to.
Because I don't know what the experience of watching this match just solo, just staring at a screen, watching this is. Because it's not good. Like, you're right. Like, it's bad. Mm-hmm. Like, this was a bad, bad match. It was a bad decision. And I think it was the wrong call. Because ultimately, it does nothing for Austin Theory.
No.
And that was the whole point of this. Because then Austin comes out. Steve Austin, that is, not Theory. And he stunners Vince McMahon, the worst stunner cell. It, like, manages so to top Linda McMahon for worst stunner cell.
Which it's wonderful.
And you know, tops Donald Trump for worst stunner cells, which I didn't think was possible. Mm. And so you're like, okay, well, Steve Austin is better than Vince, who is better than Pat, who is better than Theory. Theory's the only wrestler here!
Yeah.
Now you got a commentator and two old retired people. Yeah. Like, why is your active wrestler the worst of the four?
Mm-hmm. Nostalgia's a hell of a drug, man.
Sure is. Which means at number one.
Yep.
I think it comes as no surprise.
Oh, yeah.
We go from 59 points for Vince versus Pat to 85 points. 21 nominations, 8 of which were top level. The Men's Royal Rumble. Never did I think, when we started this whole process a few years back, that a Royal Rumble would win worst match of the year.
Yeah.
I got a message from Maggie from Fightful that just says, I hate you for making me remember this match.
Yeah. Yeah, that's valid.
And I apologized to Maggie. I was like, in fairness, Maggie, I had to remember it too. This is the most lackluster, mid-card, boring Royal Rumble. There are two spots I can remember from this Royal Rumble. Mm-hmm. Perhaps three.
Mm-hmm.
Bad Bunny taking the F5.
Mm-hmm. That was good.
Johnny Knoxville and AJ Styles.
Yep, that was
not fine. Not the Sami Zayn bits, but the stuff with AJ when they just slap the crap out of each other.
Yeah.
And this shows how much of it is. I can't quite remember. Either Madcap Moss or Happy Corbin eliminating AJ and all of us going like, what?
Yeah. It was Madcap Moss.
Madcap Moss, there you go. Like, Madcap Moss eliminating AJ, being like, what the hell is this match?
Yeah.
What is going on here?
Like, I'm not going to praise the 2015 Royal Rumble.
You'd be hard-pressed to.
But
it's trying something.
Yeah, that's true, actually. It is trying.
It's not trying anything that works.
It's got some star power to it.
It's got a bit of star power. It's got, like, a little Wyatt family half reunion, then they fight. It's got the Dudley, like, it's the Bubba Ray Dudley returns it's and got grabs some story. R-Truth. It's got something to it. Like, it's awful, and I think it's probably still the worst Royal Rumble ever. but it's trying something. There's some sort of thought put into it. This was a Royal Rumble match with not 1 ounce of thought put into it. Yeah. You had all of the things that were built up on TV, like, oh, is Rey Mysterio or Dominic Mysterio going to turn on the other, eliminate the other? Is Dominic going to eliminate his dad? Not even in the match at the same time.
Nope.
There's nothing to this match.
Yeah.
It is 45 minutes of you waiting for the last guy to come in there. Brock Lesnar comes in, and then he wins in the shortest amount of time of any Royal Rumble winner. He broke that record. He wins in like 2 minutes from having entered. There's not a fun showdown at the end of him and Drew looking at each other from the WrestleMania deal and finally in front of all these people. Look at us, back together again. Maybe sometime down the line. Nothing.
Yeah.
It is the most uninspired Royal Rumble I've ever seen.
No thoughts, Rumble empty.
Yeah.
Is basically the sum total of this. It is, the decision was, Brock Lesnar is winning.
Because we want to do Brock.
And that's it. Yeah. That's the whole match. Brock Lesnar is winning. What about the other? No, it doesn't matter. Brock Lesnar's winning. You just sit through 29 other people until Brock Lesnar comes out and wins. That's the point of the match, and nothing else in the match matters at all. And the Royal Rumble is one of the most versatile matches that you can have because there's so many stories that can be set up from it. Stories that can pay off at the Rumble, stories that can be set up during the Rumble, and teasers of things to come later during the Rumble. And there was nothing diddly-dick in this whole match, aside from Lesnar winning. That's it.
There's no surprises. There's no fun to the Rumble. Like, the Rumble's a fun time.
Yeah. The only thing is Bad Bunny. That's it. That's the only fun bit of the match.
And Shane coming out doing his potato punches.
Those are the two surprises. It's Shane McMahon and Bad Bunny.
Yeah.
Tell me who I'm supposed to get really excited to see. Mm. Like, Bad Bunny was kind of neat.
Yeah.
I wasn't looking forward to seeing Shane again.
This match got him fired.
Yeah.
Sure did.
Imagine what this match could have been if Shane did all of his ideas.
Well, it might have been best match of the year if Shane had booked it. It's an uninspiring Rumble, and I think it actually takes an incredible amount of talent to book an uninspiring Rumble.
Yeah.
Like, that's a level above anything else to make a Royal Rumble boring.
They literally did random number generator or random wrestler generator for 29 people, and then said, and Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
They did that, and then a couple of them were too close together that it might have been interesting. Be like, no, we got to separate ones. No. Those Mysterios can't be that close together. Yeah. Those got to go.
Yeah, so no good. It was, as according to our nominations, the worst match of the year. But why don't you let us know what your worst match of the year was in the comments down below. And hey, if this is your first time here and you've made it this far, please do press the subscribe button. Give us a little thumbs up and everything. It helps us in the algorithm and whatnot. And we will see you in a couple of days' time for the worst pay-per-views of 2022.
I wonder if
the Rumble's going to make it.
I have been Luke Owen, D-A-T. That's been Chopper P. Quinnell. That's been Tempest. Jam that jam.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.